you.
And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I'm not sure there really is. I mean, I guess Arkansas, because it was a game where Missouri was actually tested and challenged.
Horford pulls his way in, forces it up and in. The Celtics have the lead.
I'm worried about the 24 points we gave up. That's what I'm worried about.
Napier steals it, drives on McConnell and lays it in.
It felt like at a point we were trading twos for threes.
You know, they know what's at stake, and they'll be ready to rock.
You know, I guess it's put up or shut up time come Sunday.
You know, I mean, it's who we are. We want to be able to run the football. You know, we got to figure it out.
I look forward to the challenge of playing Denver. Patrick will go at the quarterback spot. I'm not going to set expectations or any of that.
Yeah, I think momentum has effect as long as you use it the right way.
I'm preparing to play the Cowboys.
So you don't know if you're taking the first team roster?
I just told you I am.
Want to beat them. And him.
Well, I think the only thing that matters, the only record that matters is that we win. All we want to do is have a great week this week. It's going to be a tough battle, and we're looking forward to that opportunity. And so we know it's going to be a good matchup.
We play the Jets this week.
We play the Jets this week. Friday. Oh, my goodness. Friday. Oh, all the sound from around from last night and into today. Yesterday, Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch on this show about a signature win for Mizzou. Celtics Radio Network, Al Horford, game-winning jumper. Mike D'Antoni from the NBA. Blazers Radio Network, Shabazz Napier, the steal and the layup. Madison Square Garden, trading twos for threes. From the NFL, Dan Quinn, not concerned. Cam Newton, put up or shut up time. Blake Bortles, figure out the run game. Andy Reid. Patrick Mahomes will start. Case Keenum, attack every week the same. Nick Foles being Nick Foles, preparing to start. Mike Mularkey, Russell Wilson, the good matchup. And Bill Belichick. Jets. We're playing the Jets this week. So that is what we've got for you. And it is Friday leading into the New Year's Eve celebrations. And the end of 2017. So I want to thank all of our listeners out there as we get started this 5 o'clock hour. Just thank you very much for listening to the Closers this year. I was very pleased to get a chance to jump into one of the chairs full time. And I really, really appreciated the chance to talk to all of our callers and get out to the media availability, ask the coaches questions and learn from what I can, you know, what I could see and learn from Mizzou sports and be a part of it here for you all, the listeners of the Closers. Thank you very much. 442-8255. Any thoughts you guys have about 2017, a favorite Mizzou moment, a favorite Royals Cardinals moment, anything, favorite laugh we had on the show here, anything like that, that you'd like to get in, 442-8255. We'll have some time here at the beginning of the hour. And then again, at the end of the hour, after we take our first break here, I'm going to have Matt Harris from Rock Em Nation to join. Does the Dive Cuts podcast with Sam Snelling to talk a little Mizzou men's basketball, getting ready for conference play. And then George had a chance to sit down with Amber Smith from the women's Mizzou team and Robin Pinchton's team and talk to her a little bit about her season so far and her year and a half here in Columbia. So we'll move on and get a bunch of stuff taken care of. I have secured the bag. Never fear. Tom Herman is not going to make fun of me because I have secured the bag. But let's go to the phone lines. 442-8255. You're on the Closers.
Hey, it's the Deuce, Jay.
Hey, Deuce. How's it going, brother?
Not bad. Hey, I've got to say my favorite moment this year, it's a Mizzou moment, but it's not one that you would think of normally. My favorite moment was being at St. Louis and watching Jaden Cox win another national championship.
Man, that
was just awesome, especially after getting the bronze medal last year.
Yeah, Yeah, Deuce, man, that is for sure. I you know, that is a program, like I said, we try to have Brian Smith on very regularly, once a week if we can manage it, and talk about that top five ranked team this year, obviously, and last year. But, man, Jaden Cox, what a representative for Mizzou, both internationally and at the NCAA level. So, yeah, man.
And well, he's a Hickman QB.
That's true. That's true. Columbia, Como, born and bred. So like that also. But yeah, for sure. And Deuce, have a happy new year, and hope we see you back on the other side.
Oh, I will. Don't worry. Just be careful out there. It's on amateur night.
Oh, yeah. As always, as someone who works in the profession, I am well aware. So thank you for the call, Deuce. Best of 2017. You know, we like to get back and think about that. That was definitely a highlight, man. You know, we have the St. Louis Sports Commission on, and we talk about that Mizzou wrestling in St. Louis, the SEC and the national tournament, and how important that was to get that wrestling in and to see our local guy get out there and hoist another one. So good for Jaden Cox and also the bronze medal, obviously, in 2016. But again, 442-8255, any Mizzou, Cardinals, Chiefs, Rams, Blues, any moment like that, we'll take calls on any of that. We'll go back to the phone lines. You're on the Closers.
Good evening, Mr. Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm great, matey. How's it going, buddy?
Fine. First of all, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And before you leave, his rose is getting a little slicky. I have one question from you. I know George's not there. Did you watch all of the game at the, Wednesday night MU game?
Yeah, I did not get to watch every minute of it, but yes, sir.
I watch it every second before game because usually I don't go to a restaurant. I watch home because Chris, you didn't know me. I'm football, basketball. Before the game, I hope you let me finish. Before the game, we have two MU players starting to make fun of the Texas. Probably you saw that one.
Yes.
And after that, let me finish. After that, when Drew got touched on, I did not expect it even same. I told Chris, he started that acting unprofessional. He's going pro. And after that, coach of the Texas start make fun of it. Coach shouldn't do that, but if to me, that was not acceptable. Because I'm not talking to Tom Herman. I'm talking to Drew Locke. The way he had the middle of the field. I know it's fun. I know, but if you are going to be professional, you shouldn't do that. I don't know what's your comment. Because I watch whole of the game, all of that and after that, but I know a lot of his coach shouldn't do that. I agree. But we started. We started, especially middle of the game, that middle of the field when Drew got touched on, and he shouldn't do that. It's my opinion because I'm not old-fashioned, but I just want one opinion.
No, matey, I'm with you, man. I think. I think if that had been the go-ahead touchdown, then maybe you've got a little more cachet. Maybe it is. Listen, at the root of it, bowl games are an exhibition game. Yes, it still counts to your final score and final stats, and it is a part of who you are as an athletic program. So you want to represent your university correctly. You know, if it had been a go-ahead touchdown, if it had been from 17 to 24 with Texas sitting at 21, then maybe a little secure the bag, maybe a little something to his own bench. Yes. Then I can see that. But man, Drew, that was a scoreboard moment, brother. It was a great pass. It was beautiful. It was highlight reel worthy.
We were losing. He did a celebrate.
Correct.
And besides that losing, Jeff, my point here, I'm not old fashioned. My point here, if you are representative of school, and after that comment, you see interview, he started make fun of the Texas. He said, the biggest school. Wait a minute, you have to represent yourself, because I remember when his dad played here. I told him I've been here 38 years. But the way he did it, I didn't expect it, honestly. That's not my point.
No,
I don't care what Tom Herman did it.
Right, exactly. The fact that I'm going to go ahead and move on, matey, but thank you for the phone call. Happy New Year. I agree that, you know, Tom Herman, not a good look, but at the same time, again, Drew brought it maybe a little bit on himself by doing it prior to having the scoreboard in his favor. I think you get a little more cachet, you get a little more weight for something along those lines if you're putting those on putting those points up in a winning fashion or a go-ahead fashion to do that, because then the other coach can't be doing it back to you unless they succeed, which honestly, against that defense, they didn't succeed very often. That Mizzou defense came to play on Wednesday night. But I have secured the bag, my bag. It's just sitting over here next to me on the shelf behind me. But I have secured my bag, and Drew Locke, I think I'm still on the fence about Drew Locke, and I think that I have met Andy, his dad a couple times, and after football games, and just in the briefest of moments, saying hello and seeing him interact with Drew, and the coaching staff, I think that is a family who is very level headed. I think they're going to take all the information at their disposal and really consider their options. They're definitely not going to be a knee-jerk coin flip type reaction from the Locke family. And I don't think they would. I don't think Mizzou fans would assume that. I hope they don't. And I think that they would. They're going to give this decision, the due time that it deserves to make that decision. But as Bill C and David Morrison, I think, have both pointed out, the offensive coordinator hire will probably happen first before Drew Locke makes his decision. So that will obviously play into it, whether or not they hire someone specifically for Drew. I don't think they do that. They've had quite a bit of offensive OC, offensive coordinator turnover, and a little stability might go a long way. So not getting somebody for just a senior year for Drew Locke, but really the vision of this program moving forward. And that's just it. The Mizzou is poised for a really nice uptick. If Drew comes back and gets along with the OC and everything kind of puts together, they're in line for a really nice uptick and a really competitive SEC season in 2018. So, like I said, I think Drew has a lot on the table and a lot in front of him, and that's great. That's how it should be. I mean, that's how it works. When you're a big time guy with big time recruit possibilities, guess what? You got to make big time decisions. And that's just the nature of it. And Drew Locke is that guy, and we'll just see what happens. But Matt Harris from Rock M Nation, when we come back, we got about 40 minutes left to add to the best of 2017, and maybe this will be it. So Matt Harris from Rock M Nation, we'll talk a little Mizzou basketball right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I'm liking my music beds today. I pulled it up and I kind of dig it. So get a little hyped up for New Year's Eve and a big, big weekend. Tons of football. The oblong spheroid, the egg-shaped one. Lots of hand egg going on. But Mizzou basketball not back on. Women's will play Sunday. Mizzou not back on till Wednesday. But goodness sakes, I am having all kinds of problems over here. Matt Harris is joining us from Rock M Nation as my entire board just blinked out for a second. But Matthew, how's it going, my man?
It's going all right.
Good, good, good. Well, Matt is one of the Rock M Nation contributors, and he does the Dive Cuts podcast with Sam. And I know you guys had Josh on, the one you just recorded. So how's everything going over at Rock M Nation, and just your take on kind of the first half of the MU season?
Things are going well. We kind of touched on our thoughts on the non-conference season in the latest episode, which came out today. Overall, I think folks should probably be pleased with how the non-conference season's unfolded, given a lot of the early tumult and kind of learning that the biggest piece on this team it was going to be out for the year. I think they've really done well to sort of hit our expectations for this team when we assumed that they would have Michael Porter in the fold. So to come out at 10-3 and to be kind of sitting where they are, which is solidly as a bubble team or a team that might get a 9 or 10 seed in the NCAA tournament, is really good given everything that they've sort of encountered so far.
I'm not saying that I in any way, shape, or form root for any kind of backslide from Mizzou, but the idea of getting that 8-9 game directly under a KU 1 seed, I mean, come on, that's got to be dangled out there for Mizzou fans, right?
It does. I think it'll be interesting to see what the committee decides to do and where they decide to slot this team if they get into the NCAA tournament. I think right now most of the projected S-curves and RPIs I've seen kind of have them hanging around the 9 or 10 seed line. But the beautiful thing about the SEC conference slate coming up is that it certainly gives them opportunities to move up and to improve their resume and to sort of get some advantageous seeding so Mizzou fans can have plenty of schadenfreude during early March.
Well, that's always what Mizzou fans really like to dial into. We always like to dial up the schadenfreude. But, you know, so as you look at this, you know, this conference slate getting ready to get started, you know, who on this, if as you, you know, as Mizzou fans pull up their conference schedule and scroll down, who's trending up and who might be somebody that we kind of sort of had penciled in as a big game that might be trending down a little bit as Mizzou fans look at this conference schedule?
I mean, I think early on, people are going to look at the South Carolina game and people are going to remember that they were an Final 14 a year ago. Frank Martin's kind of doing some retooling and rebuilding work this year. So I think when people look at their record, they should go look at who South Carolina's played, and it's been kind of a soft non-conference schedule for them. So I think the first game I'm kind of really interested in seeing is Florida when they come to town on January 6th. The Gators have kind of been in a little bit of a lull over the past month. They've really, really struggled to get some consistent inside play from their bigs. That's partly because John Egbunu, one of their big pieces, has been out with an ACL injury. He's supposed to be back in late January, but they've really struggled a little bit up front to find some pieces. Keevon Allen, a potential preseason player of the year in the SEC, has kind of been off to a slow start through non-conference play. And Igor Kulikov, a Rice graduate transfer, got off to a hot start and has kind of cooled off. So Florida's had some issues defensively. They've had some issues offensively in terms of balance and in terms of getting some consistent production from guys. So that might be a game that Mizzou fans looked at in the early part of the season and said, well, this one may be tight. This one may be a pickup opportunity for Mizzou early in non-conference play. And then a game that I'm kind of really interested to see is when they go to Arkansas on January 13th. The Razorbacks have been a little bit better than I expected, especially with Daniel Gafford playing well up front for them. And they've gotten some great production, obviously, out of Jalen Barford and Darryl Macon. So those are kind of the two games I would key on in the first five, the home game against Florida on the 6th and the road trip to Arkansas on the 13th.
Everybody, of course, has the UK game and games penciled in. Is this your older brother's Kentucky team that we've come to know and love over the past 5 to 10 years, or is this kind of a different version of what Cal has going on?
It sounds weird given how much oxygen kind of UK sucks up every year, but this is kind of a team that's an enigma at this point. They haven't really had an alpha male step forward to kind of step up and take on the mantle as the guy in Lexington. They've had some guys like Kevin Knox and Hamidou Diallo kind of trade that out a little bit, but they're a really interesting team. They're obviously young. They've got a ton of size and a ton of athleticism, but they're really interesting in that they didn't play as much of a star-studded or highly touted non-conference schedule. They blew out Louisville today, absolutely hammered their rival by 29 today. But they're still kind of a team that we're figuring out. They don't shoot a ton of jumpers, but they shoot them pretty well. They've got a bunch of size and length they can score inside. They play a little bit of zone, a little bit of press. So they're not your team that we've kind of expected in terms of what Cal's offense has been and what his defense has been, but they've kind of come along in a way that makes you think they're going to be okay. The SEC is a little bit deeper this year, so I think they're probably going to take some losses that we aren't accustomed to seeing to Kentucky take. But I think by the time Missouri sees them in early February, Cal may have a group that's found an identity and is going to be really talented. So I'm kind of interested to see what they look like after the first month.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, when you take a look at this team and moving into the conference slate, I mean, is this a team who should, you know, Mizzou, assuming we stick with the roster we have now, assuming there's no late additions to this roster, is this a 500 in the SEC team? Is that kind of the bog standard for them? Or is you know, should this be a team that's, you know, really striving for double-digit SEC wins?
I think 500 is still where the expectation should be for this team. I think they've shown over the course of non-conference play, they've got some nice pieces. Cassius Robertson's probably been better than we all could have hoped for, making the transition to a high major. Jordan Barnett's jump shooting has really come along. I think you'd like to see him be a little bit more of a slasher, but his game has sort of come along as well. I think Jeremiah Tillman's made some really good strides over the past month in terms of being able to stay on the floor. Jonte Porter does a ton of things that don't always show up in the scoring column. They've got some issues at the guard, and that's probably going to get beat to death over and over again moving forward. They don't necessarily have a guy like a Michael Porter Jr. who can go get them offense if it's not working night in and night out, but they've got enough pieces and to contend in this league for 500. To me, the question is, can they find a way to something like 11-7, which if you do that in the league this year should safely put you in the NCAA tournament field. It'll be interesting to see how that really happens, given that, like we said, Florida's gone through a little bit of a bumpy stretch. Alabama's gone through a bumpy stretch, but teams like Tennessee and Arkansas are probably better than we thought they were at the outset. So I think if they find a way to 10-8 or 11-7, that's a really, really good result, and that should put them in position for a solid seed in March.
Basketball and hockey always in a weird position when you talk about calendar years and like best ofs. You know, Mizzou basketball, best of 2017, the calendar year, pretty much all you have to choose from early in the year is an SEC tournament victory against Auburn. And then some of the moments from, so far what we've seen in the non-con this year. Do you have a favorite calendar moment from 2017 for Mizzou basketball?
I got to go with the season opener. And that's going to sound weird given that a lot happened in the spring in terms of roster overhaul and MPJ committing. But I think that the thing that jumps out to me is it felt like Mizzou got some of its identity back as a basketball school. They unveiled the Statue of Norm. He had a packed house for an old Big 8/Big 12 foe. The team played exceptionally well that night. And I think it was just one of those moments where the fan base had been waiting for a moment like that for a couple of years. They had kind of hoped and waited to see something where there would be some relevancy on the floor and a reason to show up at the building, and the team gave them that. And I think so far they've done that in other games, but I think that night was sort of a coalescence of everything that fans had hoped for, and it was nice to see kind of people get back to that point.
We're talking with Matt Harris from Rock M Nation, and one of the things that Matt has started doing this year, which I've really enjoyed, I don't get to sit and watch a bunch necessarily of non-Mizzou football or basketball action, but I enjoy checking in on. He started writing a feature called The Watch, and it's a way for everybody to kind of know what's going on in the whole college basketball landscape. So you know, like I let in the you know, this segment with the so much is going on in the football world this weekend and in through New Year's. But what's going on with basketball that people should tune into if, you know, you're kind of waiting until drumming your fingers till Wednesday if you're a college basketball fan for Mizzou?
It's a really, really nice weekend for the Big 12 to open up. There's some really, really good games tonight. I think Kansas goes to Texas tonight. It'll be an interesting game between West Virginia and Oklahoma State, who I think has been a little bit better than people thought, at least through non-con. But the game that I want to see tomorrow is Oklahoma goes to TCU. Obviously, Trey Young is worth tuning in just to see how he's played and a phenomenal start this season. But Jamie Dixon's done a really, really good rebuild at his alma mater, TCU, in the first 2 years. They've got some really nice players down there. Evan Brodzinski is one of them. Vladimir Brodzinski, excuse me, is one of them. They've got a great point guard in Jalen Fisher, who's one of the nation's best assist men, great three-point shooter as well. That'll be a fun game because both teams kind of play a little bit up-tempo. They play a free-flowing style offensively, and it's a top 15 matchup. So I'd definitely try and catch that. That's at 1 p.m. tomorrow on ESPNU. And then tomorrow afternoon, Texas A&M goes to Alabama in kind of a really, really important early early SEC game between two teams we thought were going to contend for top four spots. That's at 5 p.m. On ESPN2. And then on Sunday, I know most people aren't probably as into it as I am, but there's some really, really good low-major and mid-major games that are going to kind of take up that afternoon part of the slate. And if you want to see teams that are probably going to be could be potential Cinderellas or potential one-bid teams, there's a good game. Ionette Canisius is on ESPN3 at noon. East Tennessee will play Mercer at 1. Northern Iowa and Bradley out of the Missouri Valley will play at 1. And then Missouri State hosts Valpo, I think, at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So those are kind of the games I make tune in to catch little pieces of just to see how some contenders in one-bid leagues are doing. So that's kind of a quick hit around what I might be watching this weekend.
Yeah, very much so. Again, Rock'em Nation, The Watch, usually posted early in the week. Get you lined up for all your weekday night games and then your big weekend of wall-to-wall college basketball action. The Watch at Rock'em Nation by Matt Harris, who we're talking to right now. Okay, George and I like the weird random prop bets. When we've got somebody on the phone, we like some over-unders and that kind of thing. So the Tigers right now are averaging 15.4 turnovers per game. Do the Tigers finish the SEC season, well, finish the whole season, but go through the SEC and finish up with a scorer averaging more than their turnovers per game? Cassius Robertson right now at 15.1. Jordan Barnett at 14.8. Could be a late addition and who would only have to go maybe six or seven games with a high number. But does Mizzou end up with a score per game higher than their turnovers per game?
I'll say yes. I'll say yes right now. I think they'll find a way to get the turnover numbers down just enough to make that possible. I don't think the spread will be all that wide, but I think they can get it done.
Okay, very good. And right now, minus MPJ right now. Later on, who has, if any, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, who has the best career? Mizzou, NBA, all things put together, what Mizzou Tiger has the best overall basketball career?
If we're taking MBJ out of the equation right now, I think Jontay Porter in a couple of years. I think he's going to evolve in a way that the NBA likes its bigs to evolve as far as a passer, as far as a guy who can kind of step away from the basket. You can trust him in some certain situations defensively. So I think he's got kind of the template of skills that NBA GMs might like in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I think between Jontay and Jeremiah, I like where that's headed. So Matt Harris from Rock'em Nation joining us. I put him on the spot there with a couple random random Mizzou prop bets there and handled it admirably. So check in with The Watch, check in with Dive Cuts with him and Sam. Tons of content at Rock'em Nation, and that's the way we like it. Matt, thanks for joining us on a Friday, and Happy New Year to you. And we'll talk to you in 2018 as the conference season goes along.
Awesome. You guys have a Happy New Year as well.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. And we'll be right back. We're going to be joined by George, getting to sit down with Amber Smith from Robin Pinchton's team. And we're going to be right back with that interview right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, the final hour of 2017. We will not have a show for you on Monday, so prep the college football semifinals a little bit as we get out of here after this interview. But today, George got to sit down with Missouri women's basketball one-on-one sophomore guard Amber Smith, and he opened up with asking her about year two of SEC play opening up Sunday. And what did she learn? What's her biggest area of improvement heading into her second SEC season?
Now I know what the physicality is going to be like and what mental aspect I need to approach each game with. Also, being able to expand my game, I can either go inside and also be able to stretch to the wing. So just a different player all the way around. My body composition is a little different, and my quickness is a little different than last year.
more fun, going inside and getting that bucket or doing the three ball?
A little of both. And also being able to pass from the inside is always fun. So I think it's a little of both.
We see from the stands that this group is really seems to be really tight-knit, goes out and has fun. From practice to all that, how's that process been for you kind of integrating yourself to what's become a family atmosphere?
It's always fun. They said that the more you smile, the fun it is. Mm-hmm. And coach always says, make it more fun than a grind. And every day out in practice, we laugh as much as we can. And we always, outside of practice, we always get together, like team dinners, meet up at someone's house. So it's always, we're always together. So no matter what happens out on the court, we're still sisters amongst each other.
Who's got the best food choice on team dinners?
I'm not too sure. No. I'm from Louisiana. No one knows how to cook. Just that much.
Favorite food that you miss then from Louisiana?
Probably my mom's chicken spaghetti.
Chicken spaghetti?
Yes.
Has it got a little Cajun kick on it?
Yeah, it does.
Some jalapenos in there?
No, not jalapenos. Maybe some Rotel tomatoes, but hot.
Okay. All right. Got some kick. So it's all mild up here now?
Yeah. A little bland.
You'll have to teach them.
Yeah, I will.
Still biology major?
No, I changed to health science with a minor in psychology.
Okay.
So still pre-professional. Just not an easier course, but like a more efficient course with what I'm trying to get done.
Okay. And what's the goal afterward?
Orthopedic surgeon.
Cool.
More anatomy and stuff like the microbiology. Okay. But.
All right, so orthopedic, so you're seeing ACLs and all that already?
Yeah, okay. Right.
Okay. Yeah. For you, when we talked a little bit last year, you talked about your grandma being a big influence mm-hmm. on you. As you both have gone through life to this point, is it still her, or is there somebody else that's kind of edging in there as well that you're like, that's somebody I need to pattern myself after?
It's still my grandmother, yeah. But it's also my mother. I mean, she was a basketball player, state championship, had the opportunity to go to Florida, but also stayed back with her mom. So be able to use my gift I have now and let her essentially live her dream through me. So it's a little bit of my mom also. Yeah.
Does she get to get to some of the games?
She does. Actually, they'll be there Sunday in Alabama.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then they'll probably show for Texas A&M.
Well, that'll be good. That'll be fun for you. As you have gone through now your sophomore year, SEC freshman of the year, you're on the under-19 USA world trials. What have you improved best on for your game?
Probably my shooting from outside and also my mid-range a little bit more. I mean, yes, I can get to the bucket, but I need to be able to stop and pop every now and then when they try to take away my driving abilities, and also be able to kick on the open shots from the swing.
You had other offers. One of those was from LSU. Why did you pick Missouri?
I felt like the atmosphere was different. Yeah. Also, just a culture change. I mean, I grew up in Louisiana all my life, so I knew what it was like. So I said I wanted to envision different parts of the United States. So the culture change and also just the family atmosphere up here.
Yeah. And what's it like to play for Coach P?
It's amazing. She's one of the funnest coaches I've ever played for. And she's always uplifting and empowering. And she always makes sure we get our touches in. So. Mm-hmm. Whenever we feel like we just need a touch, we go touch her, and she already knows what that means.
You know when you've made a mistake. When you turn around and you see Coach P, what's her tell that you know you've made a mistake?
Sometimes her facial expressions, but she never really tells you that you made a mistake. She's always saying that it could have been better. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yes, it's a mistake in her eyes, but she's like, do you want a good shot versus a great shot, or just slow down, essentially. She's never really upset, but she knows that she can tell us it was a mistake without actually telling us it was a mistake.
How different is it to play for a coach like that? That's it's all about the positive going forward as opposed to looking at the back.
It's always easier because if you're always harping on the last play, then where's that player's mental aspect? So, I mean, she's always thinking next play, and if we mess up on offense, get it back on defense. It's never dwelling on the last play. Yeah, we all know it's probably a bad play or a mistake, but she always makes sure that our mental aspect and our next play attitude is always in the right place.
Best part about a road trip with this team?
Has to be the bus rides.
Okay.
And then
who's
dinner.
In charge? Somebody in charge of entertainment?
Sophie. She's always in charge.
Is there like a second in command? She'll graduate here in a little
bit. It'll probably be Jordan Roundtree. She's always pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the food?
Dinner's pretty good. Everybody's always on everyone else's plates. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. As you are going through now this sophomore season, the next couple of years for you, Do you have is there a goal for you? I know we've got the team goal, but is there a goal for you to either improve in an area or something, even if outside of basketball?
On the court, it's always making everyone else around me better. So I'm not always looking to score. I love passing. And, yeah, I've been getting in trouble a lot for not shooting my open shots, but I'm a person that loves to make everyone else around me better and also just improving my character all the way around. If things are not going my way, I still need to keep a smile on my face and not let it get to the inside and just being a happy person all the way around.
All right, you ready to play a little one word?
Sure.
It's easy. Just first thing that comes to your mind, ready?
Okay.
Missouri weather.
Cold.
SEC basketball.
Tough.
Missouri basketball for the women.
Oh, I guess hard. Oh, competitive.
Okay. Life as a student on Missouri's campus.
Challenging.
Okay. And as we go forward here, your life is with the teammates.
Fun.
Are you? And you're having fun.
I'm having fun.
Is this the best part of being Embersmith right now, playing basketball?
It is.
You enjoying it?
I am.
Excellent. Thank you very much. I
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Have yourself a happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
We'll be right back to wrap up our number two right after this.
It's The Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey. Last segment here of our number two of 2017. Jay Sparks in the seat, George Young off on assignment. But quickly to the phones, I'm going to go. And we've got one, we've got a caller here. I'm going to sum up a little bit of 2017. Go right ahead, caller.
Hey, wow, boy. Hey, poor George.
Yeah.
Hey, George, have a smoked turkey club sandwich for me on Monday.
Okay.
And I had a couple of thoughts, Jay. And thanks for taking this call, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I had a thought about Drew Locke, just immaturity, I think, and in the moment, like a fist bump on a golf shot. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
And immaturity, and he either forgot the cameras were on or he remembered. Either way. But the coach, on the offensive coach, should not have done that. Anyway, enough of that. I'm pleased with the whole season. I'm pleased with the Tigers' overall performance, both the men and the women, and all teams, all Mizzou teams. Go Mizzou.
Yep.
Go Tigers. I'm real excited for next year, and thinking of the Tigers and the Chiefs, didn't they kind of have similar seasons so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, the slump in the middle and coming back?
Yep.
Okay. Now, Chiefs, please do anything but one and done. Anything. Anything.
Well, they're in, so the only option would be to go two and done. So.
Yeah, okay, well, we know where we want them to go for sure, and that may or may not happen. Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath, but that would be a long hill to climb.
All right, about 30 seconds left.
30 seconds, all right. Royals, I'm anxious for the Royals to start. All in all, favorite part of the season was the whole doggone season on all Missouri teams.
All righty.
And, yeah, we could have had a few more successes, but we didn't have total bust-out years. Now, I'd like to say, what you always say is, be careful out there. I say, people, buckle up, drive safe and sober, get home safe. Jay, thanks for the show you do. And George, in his absence, you do a great job, too, by yourself.
All righty. Well, thank you, sir. And go Chiefs. I'm going to say it for him. Thank you all out there listening. Thank you for a good 2017. For myself and George, everybody here at KFRU, KLIK, the Closers, be safe out there. We want to have you back for 2018. And have a happy new year. We will talk to you again next year.
News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.